So today I'm going to speak about life in abundance. Now let the river flow. Okay. So yeah, we have that in the midst, of course, of pressure. Okay. Jesus said, in this world you'll have pressure, like an olive being crushed. So don't confuse that. The world and the enemy brings pressure. We're in a fallen world. That's not God. God doesn't bring that pressure. He uses the pressure. Okay. He might give you a little bit of pressure. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He gives a little bit. But he's not the main one, all right, that gives you all of that. So don't confuse God with the world and with the evil one. All right. All right. You see first, actually, I started with Nicodemus, but I actually want to go a little bit earlier in John, the first chapter of John. He comes to Nathanael and he says to him, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael was like, then you must be the Messiah. How could you know that? He said, you think that's amazing? You'll see the angels descending up and down on the Son of Man. See, but how did Jesus see that? Who showed it to him? Where was Jesus? So we see here, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. We all know that he came by night because he didn't want the other Pharisees to know that he came. He said to Jesus, but you know, we know that you must be of God because of the things that you do. You know, he was very impressed with Jesus. But Jesus then says to him this thing about you must be born again. We all know about it. You know, how can a man be born again? And he says you can't be born of a mother of water. He's a mother. And of the, you know, he was going to be born of the Spirit also. All right? And now he goes further on and he talks, very interestingly, he talks a whole time to Nicodemus, us, we. We testify what we have seen. And how can we tell you about the things of heaven if you cannot receive this? You know? But he talks the whole time, we. Now, if you talk to a person like that and there's one person and he says we, you think he's a schizophrenic or something. You know? Like, who's the we? It's not up there. But the whole time, we. Okay. And then Jesus makes this amazing statement. He says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That's, of course, himself, okay? The Son of Man, who is in heaven. I went to the Greek to look it up. It means who is presently, present tense, now in heaven. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, but I'm in heaven also. So I'm here and I'm there. All right. So what does it have to do with us? Okay. So, the next chapter, John 4, Jesus comes to the Samaritan woman, okay? And we all know the story that she was rejected and she came in the middle of the day. So, we saw the previous picture that he comes at night. This woman comes in the middle of the day when it's hot because she's rejected. And then Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God, right, which is the Holy Spirit, that's the gift of God. And who are you saying to you? That's Jesus. You would have asked me, and I would have given you living waters. Okay? And she's going, now what is living waters? It means a river. So she's standing at a well, and he says, I would have given you a river. And she goes, but are you better than our father Jacob? Where are you going to get a river from? And I says, but that sounds great. And I don't have to bring water again, so give me of this water. She says, I'm give me. And immediately Jesus starts to prophesy over her. He says, go fetch your husband. And she says, no, I don't have one. He says, yeah, you speak truth. The one you're married to is not, the one you're with is not, you're not married to him and you have five. All right. And so what is the living waters? It's when the word of God starts to flow. It's when the word of God starts to become manifest in your life. All right. It's when you feel it. All right. And the wonderful thing about the word of God is that we can feel it. All right. Next slide. All right, so the truth is that you are already in heaven. If you're born again, all right, you are in heaven. You can say, but I'm here. Now, the word says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Again, if you go look in the Greek, you know, the Greek, it tells you what time that is. It is now. All right. You are now in heaven. All right. Now, all right. And You have full authority. Jesus says, behold it. From here, we've got to see it. That I get delegated unto you superhuman power. All right? To step on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the evil one. By no means shall any harm come to you. Now I'm asking the question, where is the devil? Where is his spirits? They're in the heavens, aren't they? He's the prince of this, the air. So if you have a step on him, where are you? You're there. Why am I telling you this? I'll just tell you now. So yes, we've got greater power, authority to bind and loose. Okay, what does it mean to bind and loose? It means to let somebody go free or say, be quiet, shut up. Okay, or speak. Or you're free to go. So you've got authority, but you've got to understand from where you've got to say this. Where you picture yourself. Okay? If you're seated with Christ in the heavenly place, it means you're in a place of rest. You've already arrived. Because it changes your perspective. If the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God, today you can go and say, not only be still and know that I'm God, you can say, today I can know that I am in Him and He is in me. Today I can know I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. As you start picturing this, you start feeling it. Because the Spirit always witnesses to the truth. Once I was, many years ago, I was living still with my parents and I was praying. And my dad wasn't charismatic. He didn't understand it if, the Spirit makes your body move or anything strange. And so I was sitting there in the room and suddenly he opened the door. It was a little sliding door. And I got such a fright. Because I was thinking, my legs were shaking and stuff. And I was really feeling the Lord's presence there because I was under the anointing. So my body was shaking because of the presence of God. So I thought, my dad's going to think I'm a loony. So, it's like, so I got a shock. And what happens is I felt, it felt like I was falling, whoops, into my body. I was like, what just happened? I thought what it felt like before my dad entered the room is I was praying and I felt God, the presence of God in my room. I was here in my room. But when my dad suddenly opened the door, I fell from heaven. My spirit came from heaven back into my body. And I realized I wasn't here. I thought I was here. I've had times I used to go pray in the woods in camps where there's a glen area. And then I start praying, and the ones I opened my eyes, and it was pitch dark. But I saw light, because the Lord said to me, open your eyes. He said to me, I was praying, He said, open your eyes. And I'm like, oh, shucks, it's pitch dark. But I didn't know it. Okay, it looked like there was light. Now, if it's dark outside, what happens? You don't see light. But for me, it was light. Because I wasn't there, I was up in heaven. But I didn't know it. See, the Bible says your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. You do not know it. It's not hidden here. It's hidden in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ Jesus? He's in heaven. You are hidden in Him. Okay? Now, it's important to know this because if you start meditating on it, well, guess what? You're going to see better. You're going to hear better. Okay? Because God's your daddy. He's your father. And if He's your daddy, He's not far off. He's right there with you. You're right in His arms. Okay. All right, next slide. We're a new species. The Bible says, behold, you're a new creation. That word is a new species, something that's never been seen before. Okay? It's 2 Colossians 5:17. All right? The word always says we are aliens in this world. And we all know about aliens. You know, they come with and they beam you up. You're actually an alien, okay? You're an outsider. You're not of this world. So how can he say you're an alien and you are here? Now, because you're born of the flesh, so yes, you are here. But you're also born of the Spirit. So you're up there. It's only if you're up there that you can see things from above. Right, next slide. All right. I've been praying for people and many times, or sometimes I see people and I see their scepter. And God says to them, I've given you a scepter. Use it. Yeah. They'll be in heaven with God, and there's a throne, and they sit on it, and then God will say to them, there's the scepter. I've given you authority to use it. Now, what do you do with the scepter? You decree stuff. arrest that man. You may approach. You think about what does kids do with scepters, and the scepter looked something like that. It was golden. It was glorious. And then I would go back after seeing that, and I'd start praying, and I was like, "What? I use my scepter, you know?" And I decree stuff because you forget. You forget who you are. You forget what God's given you. You're a son. You're a daughter. He says, whatever is mine is yours. Okay? But he's given you authority. But the key is you rule with Christ. It's always in Christ. It's never just on your own. It's not just that you just go like a machine gun and shoot. No, it's you become still and know that he's God. In that day, you will know. And a new Eve, it's intimate. You will know that I am in my Father. You are in me and I am in you. In John 14, God says he comes and makes his home inside of you. Jesus says, if you're a baby because you love me, it's always if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, then I will manifest. I and the Father will come to you and manifest to you. You'll feel me, you'll see me, you'll experience me. It's promises. We're sons and daughters. Okay? That's life and abundance. We can talk about abundance. I promise you, that's abundance. If you've tasted the Lord and seen he's good, and you want nothing more. You just when I got born again, I was 19 years old, and I heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I said to God, Lord, also baptize me in the Holy Spirit. We're on a camp. And then I heard a voice saying, just say thank you. I saw God on the throne, but I didn't even know that was God. I just, you know, back then, now I know. But and I said, okay, thank you. I felt nothing. Suppose zero. But I just knew I need to say thank you. There's a key in that. Just say thank you. Just believe. Don't go on feelings. Just believe. Okay, receive it. And then afterwards, I saw the miracles. After that, I was a zombie. My mother said, you're useless. You don't even see that the grass is growing. Can't you mow the lawn? Didn't you see the grass was growing? I said, no, I didn't. Sorry, Mom. She says, all you do is fast and pray with your friends. That's all you do. And you pray and you pray. And you sit and you, people come in and you pray. That's all you do. I remember those days when people come in and offer them water. I just said, come, let's pray. I found life and it in abundance. I was like, this is amazing. You know, like, so that's what God did with me. He does different things with different people. I'm not saying he called me into that. And so for me, that was my realm. But you can be a teacher. You can be a school teacher. And God can do amazing things. You can be a mechanic and God can do. I was in the building industry. I saw so many miracles. I would drive and then it would pour out rain. And I would say, Lord, can I command the rain? And he would say, yes. And I would say, in Jesus' name, stop raining. And it would pour. The opposite happened. I come to the other side. It was full of cement bags. The back of the bucket was a manager, my practical year. The bucket is wet. There's not a drop of water on the bucket. I found the cement bags. Not a drop. I called all the guys. I said, come look what my God has done. I can go on and on about the miracles that I saw. But it was in the industry. My friends, all of them saw it in the industry. I mean, him and Russell used to be, you know, lawyers, and then they do deliverance in the office. You know? Come on, we got to go into the industry, into the world, and be a light in the world. All right, next slide. Like I said, but it's hidden in Christ Jesus. Okay, next slide. All right, you're called to rule with Christ in this life. You've got to reign with him, okay? So what does it mean to prophesy? It means to merely speak the word of God. I'm prophesying to you right now. I'm bringing the word of God to you. Okay? So if you, whether you speak a scripture to a person, but you want to speak it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's why I want to say, you want to meditate who you are, where you are with God. And the more you meditate, the more the Holy Spirit will make it come. And ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. I can't see, but you can. Please take me to Jesus. And then Jesus, please take me to the Father. Ask. We have not because we ask that. You've got this amazing helper, the Holy Spirit. And he will help you. All right. So God spoke the world into existence. And every day you're going into the world. Every day you're going into your work situation. And God wants you to speak. He wants you to prophesy. What's the first thing that God did when he created the world for us? He separated light from darkness, night from day. Jesus says, you can't work at night, you work at day. So the first thing when you rule is you say, Lord, light be. Holy Spirit, light in my work, light. Lord, I've got this young child, light, Lord, light. What does that want? I've looked at mothers and I thought to myself, you must have the gift of prophecy and the word of knowledge, because how do you know? You know, we need the help of God. We're like blind. We can't see. And life brings you into situations where you need God to help you. You've got this helper. Acknowledge the helper and he will help you. Because he sees and he knows. Right? And he can make you aware of who you are in heaven. But like I said, we're hidden, so that's not really the focus. The focus is just to believe that you're up there, and it's to know that he is now in you. All right. Now, in Psalms 36, it says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wing. They are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. And you give them to drink of the rivers of your pleasures. For with you is the fountains of life. In your light, we see light. Now this is awesome on its own. I mean, it's incredible everything that's said in there. But what I'm saying to you is, God is saying to you, there's this table set out for you. There's this abundance. What is the river of his pleasure? All right? It's when the river flows through you. Jesus says, whoever drinks of this waters, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters. It will well up. Right? That's the river of his pleasure. He'll make you drink of it. So God says, Lord, what do you say about this situation? I was sitting here, Lord, what are you saying to these people? And he allows you to drink of the river of his pleasure, because he had pleasure in you guys. Because when I saw the vision, it's extremely pleasurable. Because I see Jesus, he's shining. And he says, I love. I probably experience it better than you guys do. Because I can see it, I can feel it, I can feel the love of my Messiah. And obviously he's saying it to me also. And it's like, oh, that's nice. it's the abundance. You want to tap into what your daddy is doing. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you see it, sometimes it's different. It's not, you can look at how God worked with Joseph, how God worked with Moses, how God worked with David. Go look at the Old Testament. None of them are the same. You know, God is a God. He works differently. So don't put him in a box. But yo, that thing is so packed. I mean, the children who put their trust under the shadow of your wing, where does that come from? Psalm 91, he who abides under the shadow of the Almighty will say of the Lord. Where do we abide? Christ has fulfilled it. You abide in the secret place of the Most High. He has fulfilled it through his crucifixion. We are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're hidden in him. We abide in that secret place. So all those promises are yes and amen. If you receive the gift of righteousness, sonship, daughtership, and the Holy Spirit, and an abundance of grace, undeserved favor, lots of favor, I like that, favor upon favor, then you will reign with Christ in this life. Can you see? You must see the goodness of God. You must see that God's a good God. Because undeserved favor. Where do you receive undeserved favor? From parents, especially grandparents. They don't want to give lots of favor. Undeserved. You don't deserve this, but God gives it to you. But you've got to know that God is good. But if you, oh God, but why does you allow this to happen to me? And why must I be? And you come and accuse God. Me, tell me it's not God. Okay. There's people that did this stuff to you. It's the enemy that attacks you. Okay. Because the enemy can't get to God. But it can get to you if you allow it. But God says we must be awake. And we must step on the things that lie to us. Snakes. Okay. And scorpions, the things that torment us. It hurts. When you think of the thing, those things. God says, with your words, step on it. Rebuke it. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what he gives us. But where is it? It's in the Holy Ghost. It's not in a person. It's not, except in Jesus Christ. it's not in a situation. It's not at a place. All right? It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in Jesus. It's in him. You've got righteousness, peace, and joy. And the more that you meditate that I'm already in him, you don't have to try and arrive. When I was a young man, demonic spirits would come over me and they would make me, I can't speak. You know, I was lying on my bed and I can't speak. And my first reaction is, I must just get to my parents, you know. I was young, you know, crawl off my bed. Of course I couldn't because, and then the Lord taught me, you know, like I grew up with the Lord and that happened again. This time in my mind, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord rebukes you. It was the thing lifted. Boom. What it was, I don't know. But anyway, it wasn't of the Lord. but in my mind, so what I'm saying is, in my spirit, I rebuke the spirit. Because I've got a new man in Christ, which is hidden. I can't see my new man, but my new man can speak. My new man can hear and can see. If you believe that, nothing becomes impossible. But when you speak out of that place of complete peace, you know that you are in him and you know that he is in you. And then you declare a thing that will happen. But if you just declare a thing, just casually, you hope. Maybe. My one friend, she's very, very anointed in working of miracles and healings. And this one lady shouted to her, please pray for my weight. And she said, you know, fat go or something. She said, I don't know what she said, but you know, just go. And she went on with other people. Like, you know, in her mind was like, you're like, oh, whatever. Next thing she hears a scream. Literally, the woman's pants were sitting there. The Lord instantly shrunk her. And then all the ladies now joking. but sometimes you don't even have, like I said, you're not expecting anything, but you do hit the sweet spot and you get it. Okay, next slide. So we all want to experience this, but unfortunately, the enemy sometimes hooks us in. All right, he hooks us down to earth so that we don't go up. Okay, and so this is not new news, but just to explain, because Paul said in Ephesians 6, we fight not against flesh and blood, okay, but against powers. What does powers mean? It means whoever raised you, whoever had power in your life, your authority figures, okay, as a kid. That's power can be any person with authority over your life. Mom and dad are normally the source of your problems, okay? That's where it comes from. Sorry, but that's just the way it is. So you've got to forgive your mommy and daddy. Forgive your dad that he wasn't there, or that he was there, but when he was there. You've got to forgive, okay? And when you do this, I've recently studied the course Sozo, you know, how to do Sozos. It just means, the word means healing. But anyway, it's all about forgiveness. So you start off, they call it the Father Ladder, and you start off by saying, how do you see God the Father? How do you see Jesus? How do you see? So Father's like a light somewhere up there. Jesus sort of, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, God is a spirit, you know, like, so, you know, that's the answer you get, you know. And so then you go through the process, which is mainly just, whom do I need to forgive? That's it. And then God will speak to you and say what he's got for you. And it's a place where you release people, okay? And afterwards you go back to this Father Ladder and you say, how do you see Jesus now? Oh, he's right next to me and his eyes are blue and he's smiling and we're walking together. And I'm on the Father's lap and he's playing with my hair. And it's just this amazing. Okay, the pictures have changed. Some people saw the Holy Spirit flying around them. The one guy that was doing the Sozo with Mandy and now it's her husband anyway, so. No, you know. So she was so him, and so he goes afterwards, he says, this is amazing. Can we do this more? I've never heard God like this. Alright. So you've got to forgive and ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. Somebody, I must forgive. And the moment you forgive, you'll see that you can see God better and hear him better. It's so simple, it's not complicated. Okay. Wicked authorities, we all know, we South Africans, we don't understand that. Yeah, no. I've got to explain that to you guys. Principalities, culture, you know, so yeah. So come out of the culture. Okay, next slide. You know, keep yourself clean. We all receive prophetic words and you know, all those kinds of things we want to prophesy. But if you prophesy and if you give a word to people, your mind and your heart and your gut, all three things, okay, because God can speak in your gut. You get a gut feeling. It's a whole thing with science. I'm not going to go into the medical thing about it, but it's incredible how it confirms the word of God. Okay, so God speaks to you in your heart. He speaks to you in your gut. His heart in your gut. And he speaks to you in your mind. Okay, because it flows over to the mind. All right, that's why we pray in tongues. You pray in your tongue, and then you pray in your understanding. Because as you allow the river to flow, it will flow into your mind. And you can pray them with understanding. If you read the Bible and you don't understand it, pray in tongues. And you will see it will open up to you. You've got this gift. The Holy Spirit will pray through you. It knows what to pray. And so it starts praying. So if I prophesy to somebody, I start off and I start praying in tongues. Because it brings me in line. When I was a young man, God used to teach me. He would say to me now, he would say, prophesy into the situation. And then my mind will go off and I was like, and he'll show me, now you're off track, son. And he said, pray in tongues. And I'm like, but it's your back again. Because where you look is what you start speaking of. Whatever you're imagining, that is what you're prophesying of. I was a young man, and we were camp, a Christian camp, and so I prophesied to this, I can't remember where it was, but I was prophesying to the person, and halfway through, I don't know why, but I started thinking about another person. My mind was a friend of the person, but I don't know why, but I got distracted. And anyway, so as I walked away, the Lord said, you actually, just half of your prophecy was of me. The rest you prophesied to the other person because your thought went over. I said, oh my goodness. So now, you know, I was probably about 19, 20, probably about 20, something like that. And, you know, you're still very ego and embarrassed, you know. And I'm thinking, how am I going to go and say to this person, you know. Next person, the person walked up to me and says, hi, I hope I don't offend you, but I just want to say the first half of what you said, I heard every word you said. But the second half, I was weird, I couldn't hear a word. Jesus. So anyway, so I'm just saying your mind's involved. You've got it, but your mind, it must be stayed on the Lord. You must look to the Lord, look to the person, look to the Lord, look to the person. For instance, when you prophesy. All right. You could just say, Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible says, study the word to show yourself approved. Make sure you make space for the Lord. Even if you've forgiven people, the more you meditate on the word. I always say to people, you can fast of food. But I'm telling you, the best fast is fast of media. Just fast of media. Just say, Lord, for 2 weeks, I'm not going to listen to the news. I'm just going to soak in your word. Soak in gospel. You know, you can watch gospel stuff on the media, but everything is gospel. Just word, word, word. Fill yourself with the word. I'm telling you, it's in that time that you hear the Lord and see the Lord. Okay, it's no use you fast of food and you're watching a movie. That defeats the point. Okay. All right. Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So, yeah. And then the last one, Psalm, it just says, the Lord will bless you, has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. All right, next slide. All right, so we all are desperate, you know, for God to break through in our world. The Bible comes in the Sermon on the Mount, and it says, you know, the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who blessed are those who mourn in Zion, blessed are those. Anyway, the first picture, two pictures of suffering, okay? The next is, it goes on to meekness and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Now, what does the word meekness mean? Exactly what you see there, okay? It's in soldiers. It's people who control their strength. So they're strong. So you go from a place of mourning to a place of strength. Because God came through. The kingdom of heaven is yours. It comes through. It saves you. You've got a testimony. You've been empowered. And now God says to you, now that you're saved and you've heard me, now obey me. Okay. Listen to me. And you hunger and thirst to do it right. if you hunger and you thirst to do things right, if you're in prayer in the morning and say, Lord, today I'm going to be a mechanic, today I'm going to fix people's cars. Father, I pray that you show me the fault. I pray, Father, I'll do an excellent job. I pray that I'll be 10 times better than the world, that people will know and recognize that you're in me and I'm in you. They will feel so loved when they walk into my office. They will say, but what is about this atmosphere? I once worked in a company called Imminent Holdings. They were selling records. And I was the intercessor slash counselor slash evangelist, whatever. And anyways, I ministered to the staff that they got to sell the CDs. And people would come in there, like delivery people, and they would say, excuse me, but what is this place? I thought it's a business. This is a church. Because they'd feel the presence. Because we were praying. The guys were fasting. Some guys were fasting 40 days. It was like crazy. But this was in the workspace. Okay? And people, the impact I saw there on the normal, because they would come there and they say, why do you do this? Why do you love us like this? Why do you help us like this? I mean, they come to work. And then we would spend time with them at work and just love them. And they were blown away. I taught them miracles about binding and loosing. Their husbands would, you know, beat them. So I'd say to them, you are in Jesus. Look at Psalm 91. He will give his angels charge over you and he'll guard you in all your ways. That's all your ways. So next time your husband wants to beat you, you just shout, Jesus. That's all you have to do. Just say, Jesus. You know? And they would go on. Two of them testified of this. Okay, they would shout, Jesus. The husband's fist would freeze and he'd fall on the ground and crawl away. But you see, they started understanding who they were. They understood that they are precious, that they are precious in God's sight, that God loves them, that God will give angels charge over them to guard them in all their ways. But see, from your side, you've got to believe. You've got to cry in the name of Jesus at that point of time. It's got to come out of you. I once was riding with a car with Morena. It was in Uppington area. I was driving the Land Rover, and this was an old Land Rover. And anyway, so I had to go to the other side because I was driving on the wrong side because the road was better, the condition on the dirt road. So I went over because a hill was coming, and the next moment this car just went out of control. It just was like all over the road. And my mind, you know, adrenaline kicks in, and so 1 second is like 10. And so I'm saying, Lord Jesus, what must we do? You know, like that's my prayer. And Morena shouts next to me, Jesus! God takes the car, whoops. Puts it back in line, there we go. Like literally, like a hand took like a toy car. I've seen so many of those miracles, but anyway. So I said to God, next time I'm in a crisis, please, Lord, let Holy Spirit remind me to just shout Jesus, not think so much. So I did. I got into a rip current. I thought, today I'm dying, I'm so tired. It's like, what's going to happen to me? And then Holy Spirit, hi. I'm like, oh, y'all, Jesus, help. A wave comes and only hit me out to the shore. A lifesaver ran past me and said, are you okay? I said, yes, I'm 100%. And he had to go save the other. I don't know why the wave didn't hit them out, but it only hit me out. I'm probably the only one that shouted Jesus. I don't know. But so I was saying, to get you as a meekness, you must control your strength under him because you love him. And keep on being hungry to do it right. Never come to a place where you know it. You must always know that you don't know. He knows. Okay, next slide. All right, so prophecy, along the way, it gets difficult. Okay? Because like Jesus says, in this world you will be crushed like a little olive. But take heart, I've overcome. It's like... but the olive, what comes out of the olive if you crush it? You see, God wants himself to come out. So many times when you put people under pressure, you know what comes out is the flesh. Especially in marriage. Flesh. See, but when you pull yourself out, when you're angry, the Bible says, do not sin. Okay? So you're angry. But go sit on your bed and give the proper sacrifice to God. Put your trust in him. So start again, I'm in you, you and me, Lord. What am I really angry about? What do I really want to say? What's the real issue here? And then you go in with kindness. And and with gentleness. Because you can't be kind if God doesn't anoint you. If you're upset, you can say, you can picture, when I go in there, I'm going to be so kind. But when you get there, why? Because you're still hurting. But when you go to Daddy God, what does He do? He heals you. He heals the broken heart. So when you're in there, you go with the whole heart. And you can actually verbalize the issue. Many people can't verbalize it. They don't know what, how. When you go to God, He helps you. He says, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say. I was the other day, I was going to Volkswagen because there was a problem with a new car that I bought. The windows didn't want to go down on the one side or up, whatever. And so, and the whole time I'm thinking, what is the guy's name? And I'm looking on the forms that he's, and I just can't find his name. And I say, Holy Spirit, I can't remember his name. What was his name? Please help me to remember his name. His name. Can't remember the name. So anyway, so I drive to Volkswagen. As I walk into the office, to the secretary, hi, can I please speak to Ryan? See, because the Spirit knew that I needed it then. It was not before, but at that point, He answered my prayer, and it came. When you lose things, the other day I was looking for my nail clipper, and I'm like, where is the thing? Stupid. It's a stupid nail clipper. Who cares? You know? But I care because I wanted the thing. So after a while, in my own flesh, trying to find it, I give up. And I said, Lord, I give up. But yeah, I just remember the other testimonies of searching for things and asking the Holy Spirit, where is it? And He shows, you know, even the police where people are. And I'm like, wow. I said, Holy Spirit, where is my nail clipper? And I see a picture of my desk. Go to my desk and there's the nail clipper. Hallelujah. See, if you have faith, you must have faith that God cares about the little things. He tells me when my toast is burning. Literally, He'll tell me. He'll tell me. There's somebody at the door. He'll tell me. The person's at the door. I just know. Because I love the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge the Holy Spirit in everything. You don't have to be special for that. Just love the Holy Spirit. Just acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You see everything. Tell me. He knows everything. All right. But what I'm saying is, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, comfort. It reveals the hearts of people. Right? Unless you're in the office of a prophet, the office of a prophet can give you direction, but I won't go there. The point is that it's supposed to encourage you. Okay? But sometimes prophecies can hurt us. Sometimes people speak over you something that they interpreted wrong. When I was young, maybe they were right, and it's still going to happen, but anyway, so far I didn't. I don't know. But people would all come to me and they say, I just see a Golf. I just see a Volkswagen Golf. And I always wanted a Volkswagen Golf. Not the City Golf, not the Polo. I wanted the Golf. And they would see this. Instead of saying, Hein, do you really want a Golf? Because I just see this. I would say to him, yes, it's in my heart. See, prophecy reveals the heart. God didn't say, you're going to give me a Golf. God was saying, I know it's in your heart. Because to this day, I've got a Polo, I've had a City Golf, Maybe one day, I don't know. But what I'm saying, the point is that people can get it wrong. They see a vision and they see an elephant. And you as a child, you had elephants, you know, because you lived on a farm and you had elephants as pets. And so God's speaking to you very intimate through the elephants. But now I've been trained through the book that the elephant is manipulation. So I'm saying to you, not even about the elephant. I sort of skip the elephant and I just go, yeah, the Lord says you're being manipulated. You see? And now I'm not being manipulated. What is this person talking about? You see? They made a mistake. Okay. The information wasn't, the download wasn't wrong. It was just the way that they, and now we get offended with prophecy. Okay. Or God said to you something. God will say something to you. I want to take you to the promised land. But you sinned so much on the way there. You were so unbelieving that you never go in. There's conditions to a prophecy. Okay. You can't just do what you want to do. God said to David, there will always be somebody of your descent on the throne. It was fulfilled through Jesus, of course. But what I'm saying, from his perspective, but Lord, God says, but you sinned. All right? So to see it in this world, you've got to be obedient. You've got to walk in the fear of the Lord. Okay? And the love of God. He loves you. He loves you. Okay? And then tongues. I'm saying tongues, boy, guys, that is the river that never stops. I was saying to Jesus right here, I said to God, you know, you said, whoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. And I was thinking, that one I've never gotten, Lord. What is the never thirst again? Because I'm thirsty for a lot of stuff. What is that thirst? And he answered me right here. He said to me, hi, that you know that I am the Christ. I was like, oh, that makes sense. I've never wondered again. I know. I know. Some people said to me, you can't know that. I said, no, I know. I spoke to a Jewish rabbi. He said to me, but that's not called faith anymore, what you're describing. He says, you know. He said to me, I said, yes, I know. I only believed after that anyway. But yeah. But you can know. Jesus said, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Who reveals it to you? The Holy Spirit. But you see, he wants to come in. You say, come in, Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit said, but you fool. There's no space. Your dad's still there fully. I can't. You just, like, let go. You know, when we do, for instance, when I do a sozo, you've got to honor, talk a lot about this, you've got to honor the process. So they want you to honor, go through the set thing. But now this person is so upset with this certain thing. They've got a crisis. And all they can see is this crisis. So you can't. Then I skip that. And I said, we're going to go into counseling now, trauma counseling. I'm going to help you to get out of your trauma. Okay? Because you are so obsessed with this. You see, when we sit with things that are so hurtful, so painful, and we can't let go of it, it doesn't mean that you're not going to forget it. To forgive doesn't mean to forget. Forgive means that I legally let you go. Dad, you were never there for me, but I legally let you go. And I say, Father, when my dad sinned, I'm going to get grace. All right. Because the more sin abounds against you, the more grace you get evermore. Never go into a thing of whatever there's sin against you, just go to the insurance company. It's called Jesus Christ. And just go get the payout. It says where sin abounds, grace abounds evermore. I got cheated. Woo! Yes, hallelujah! Woo! Jesus! I come before the throne of grace and mercy. Lord, I'm the beneficiary today. I'm the victor. But thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. You know what God does in heaven says? Oh, I like that boy's faith. I like that girl's faith. And he will do it according to your faith. But he said it. He said, he will. Because I was dating somebody and the person, you know, some things would just go wrong and you would waste money in the sense that I'm like, fuck, it's okay, I'll take it, Lord. Before God's throne, I'm saying, ah. And the Lord said to me, hi, just ask for grace. And he showed me this glory coming out of his throne. He said, if you don't ask, you don't get. But if you ask, and they're like, oh, that day, I say, oh, so it's okay. If people break stuff, God said, it's more than okay. It's more than okay. My grace is sufficient. There's no problem to me. I was so angry with the trains, you know, like, how could they buy a train, the government buy a train, and it doesn't fit on the train track? I was with this, like, it's so illogical, I can't understand. And I just couldn't. I was like, and even Europe talk, and I'm like, just irritated me. I just couldn't get it. It's like, and I cried to God. I said, help me to understand this. Help me, help me. And the one day he spoke to me and he said to me, son, just be grateful. The country is not in war. And I was like, oh, that changes the whole perspective. Okay, that's okay. Did your grace behind? God's got funny ways to answer you sometimes. But anyway, what I'm just saying is stay hungry. Ask for God to come, for the light to come. He said you'll have that light of life. You've got the access. And tongues is one of the ways to get it. you've got this beautiful gift inside of you that just wants to flow. And you can do it at any time. You know how you're in the Holy of Holies? It's by the mere fact that you can speak in tongues. If you can't yet, I'll just start saying thank you to God. You could not, the high priest, when it went into the Holy of Holies once a year, he would speak in tongues. And Moses in Exodus 32, verse 32, he's on the mountain, he's interceding for the people. And just before he says, rather blot out my name, he starts speaking in a tongue. You'll see this little stripe in your Bible because they don't know the language there. They don't know what it is. Moses was going, he was speaking in tongues towards the Lord. And then he said, rather blot out my name. Who was speaking through him at that time? Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, you can blot my name out because I can take it up again. I can lay down my life. I can take it up again. You see? Now you can also these days, because you're with him, you can lay down your life, you can forgive, and then you take it up again in Christ Jesus. And you go again. Because we also, in this world, we'll have to pick up our cross. What's the cross? It's people don't understand you. People persecute you. They can't see you. You pray to the Lord. Remember John the Baptist? He's the nephew, the cousin of Jesus. He's like, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Why am I still in prison? Jesus sends a message back. Jewish understanding. He leaves out and prison is set free. He says, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. But he does not say, and the captives are set free. That's the way Jews spoke to say that, sorry. And John got beheaded. But what does the Bible say? Whoever was beheaded will rule with 1,000 years with Christ when he returns. So from Father's perspective, his Father saying, I'm going to bless John. I want him to be part of the 1,000-year rule. From John's perspective, do you hate me? Come on. You love me. You see? And that's why we've got to have a secret little friend that tells us. And when you go in, he says, it will just be okay. It's just okay. Because he doesn't always tell you. Sometimes God will say to me, do you trust me, son? I think so. That Goliath looks quite big, Lord. And if you don't feel it, then you just say, God, well, no, I don't, help me. Help me with my unbelief. All right, and he helps you. You don't have to try and be strong if you're not. Just become as you are. No, Lord, I don't believe at all. I'm terrified. Just tell him. Just be honest. And God will hear you. He's really not into you being honest. He says, come as you are. When your children come to you, they just come as they are. They just jumped into the mud. They believe in Omo, you know. It's like they saw the ad, Mom can sort it out. It's like they don't have a worry in the world. Alright? To be the same way with God, just come in. If God sees a problem, he'll tell you, hey. There's mud on your clothes, don't wait, what? He'll show you. Okay, next slide. Okay, so the key is identity. That's what I'm trying to say. Is that whether you sin, you're still in heaven. Alright? Whether you feel close to God, near to God, the truth is you're close to God. Alright? There's a part of you that is righteous. It's a gift of righteousness. You're a son. You're a daughter. You cannot be undaughtered. So your daughter is naughty, you're no longer my daughter. And now you're good again. No, we don't do that. You're a naughty daughter. You're a naughty son. But you're still a son. Okay? God doesn't kick you out of heaven every time you're naughty. No, he looks at you, and that's why he can prophesy over you and say the most beautiful things. And you go, no, that can't be. It can't be. How can God see me like that? Because God's not looking at the flesh man. He says the flesh counts for nothing. He's looking at your new man. And he sees that, and he's speaking the truth. He's saying what he's seeing in heaven. He's looking at you and says, wow. Because God sees things as they are going to be. It's now for him. He calls those things which are not as it already is. So when somebody prophesies, we just receive it, just drink it. Because, yes, amen. Yes, yeah. it's let it be so. It's not all my reality, but hey. It's like, come on. You know, when God calls you and says things to you, David, you're going to be king over Israel. But there's another king, Saul. It doesn't look real. When he said to Joseph, Joseph believed in his brothers, says, yeah, right, you know. Okay. I'm just saying that drink the word that God gives you. Now, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, that's us. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. So abide in the prophetic words. Abide in the things that God said to you. Abide in what the Bible says to you. Abide in what the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Write it down. Meditate like I said earlier. Abide in that. All right? And then do what he tells you. And you shall know the truth. And what is the truth? That God is with you. He's with you. You're not alone. By him you can do anything. All right? And it will make you free from this world. You won't be attached, because who's your father? God. Who's your mothers and brothers? Those who do the will of God. It's not of the natural. It's of the supernatural. Next slide. Right, I went to the Fish River Canyon, and just to give a physical picture of it's hard, you've got your backpack on you and everything. And as all this pressure was upon me, came a point where I could minister to people, and I was ministering to them, and they were hungry about identity and who they are. And I could just minister into that area. And for that brief moment, which was probably say 40 minutes or so, I was not aware of my backpack. I was not aware of my legs. Constant pain. It's not. Because I was walking in my calling. And I remember saying to God, you know, the canyon is great, and it's great to be here, and it's a real blessing, and thank you, Father, and I really appreciate it, but I'm just saying, I was made to minister your word. I said, that's my sweet spot. What's your sweet spot? Where does the Holy Spirit manifest with you? Right? Where can you feel him flowing? Like I said, he's not called everybody to ministry in the same, but a full-time ministry. He's called most people actually just to go love the people in the, you know, every day. But you'll find your sweet spot. Okay, next slide. Like I said, I've said the scripture, but yeah, in that day you will know. So our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus. But the moment that river flows through you, it's in that day that you know. And if you do it over and over and over again, and you flow in them, after a while, you actually start to know. You actually know when you're going to go to God, but he's going to tell you. He's told you so many times. You know. You start to know him intimately. But the key is, like I said, forgive. Let go of what's behind you. Okay. If you need help with that, see it in Retief. I'll show you where to go. Get help to release people. Hunger and thirst to do what is right. All right. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that Lord, you're not calling us to do things on our own. You actually want to do it through us, with us, by us. Lord God, you're a God of intimacy. And whether we, Father, read the Bible, or Father, whether we are, Father, fixing a car, Lord God, you want to do it with us. You're a God of intimacy. And I pray today, Father God, that your anointing will come right now and call us, Father, wherever we are. In this world, wherever we're going to business or home or wherever we're going to be, that we will say to you, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, bless them, because you love them, Father. Yeah, Father, I release faith over them. Faith. That's what you want them to have, faith in you, that you're a dad that's intimate. You're a father that's here right with us, Emmanuel. And also joy, Father, you say to me, joy, lots of your joy. Father, you said the joy of the Lord is my strength. So, Father, let them receive how much you rejoice over them. God saying to me, oh, how I rejoice over you. I just hear him saying, like much more than even I can understand. He's saying to me, he's like he so rejoices over you people. Yeah, he just loves us. So, Father, right now I release your blessing. That you are blessing them, you are keeping them. Your face is shining over them. You are gracious when they make mistakes, and your countenance is turned towards them, and you give them the peace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.